Whenever I'm on allergy meds, I feel like there's something that I forgot to do. And it's like the most annoying feeling.
Yeah,
I
it's guess like that. It's like
sort of like
there are words that I want to grab and then I can't remember where they are. That's what it feels like.
Oh, I feel for you. Welcome to Love is Like a Plant. Show all about love and relationships and dating and sex and how to help love grow. I'm Sarah May. I am the host of Help Me Be Me, a podcast all about self-help for people who hate self-help, and the creator of the Breakup Album. Pre-order is now live on yaywithme.com.
And I'm Elle, the founder of Mend, an app that helps you through a breakup. You can download our app in the App Store. Yay.
So today we are talking about red flags in relationships, what they are, what to do about them, which ones are worse than others. So Elle, I would ask you, what do you think is like the biggest red flag that everyone, that you'd first tell anyone about and that they need to immediately run the other direction?
So I don't have one specific, well, I have a bunch of specific ones, but I don't have one specific one that I think applies to everyone necessarily. The one thing that really sticks out to me for a red flag is if you have some sort of like intense reaction, like in your gut, in your core, that something is off or wrong.
Totally.
You are right. And I think
that's a good one.
I think usually we like we can pay attention to it, we hear it, we feel it. We don't always act knowing.
Totally. That's like the gift of that book, the book The Gift of Fear, is that's the number one, that the core of it is like if you feel weird, listen to it, no matter how awkward it makes the situation.
Yeah, like we're animals. We're humans, but we're also animals. There's a part of you that is very primal that, you know, we understand a little bit about, but we don't necessarily understand everything about how the body and brain works. And I think that is one really amazing thing about how we're built, is that we are wired to prevent danger and to, you know, to keep living. And not saying everything is a life and death situation on a first date, but I do think if you get a really strong reaction, like something is not right here, you really need to pay attention to it.
Mm-hmm. And you don't even have to explain it. It's just, you don't have to rationalize it. You don't have to quantify it. It's the thinking that is stupider than your gut reaction. Like your brain will be like, well, but I'm being judgmental and, well, maybe that doesn't mean anything bad, but your actual physical body will know more than your brain will, consciously. So listen to that instinct.
Yeah. What about you?
I would say, I think that's such a good one. I would say anytime the person's actions, physical actions, and what they are saying are not aligning.
Ooh, yeah.
And I feel like that's one of those things that confuses a lot of people, and I think you want to believe people by nature, especially if they're very attractive. You want to believe what they say, and you're more inclined to, based on your biology, to want to trust them. And you might convince yourself to trust them. But if somebody's physical behavior is not lining up with the words that they are saying, or it's contradictory, that's a very clear red flag that they're being dishonest with you. They're not telling the truth. And people that lie in general can be very, very dangerous in relationships, just because it's showing they're using a method of control. And especially if it's on a first date, you want to meet somebody on the same page as you that's on the level. So if they're lying to you, you're just walking into a trap.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a really great quote. I think it's Maya Angelou who said, when someone shows you who they are, believe them the first time. But the core of that is, you know, we get so much information from people just initially. And I do think on first dates and even on second dates, people can be a little bit nervous and awkward, but you get a lot of information from someone in how they talk to you and how they treat the people around you, strangers, even like how someone treats a waiter. And then you get so much nonverbal information too if you're in the same room with them. And you can actually take away a lot of information from that.
Absolutely.
And I think a lot of times what happens is we build up sort of an idea of what someone might be like. Or even more common is what I see people doing where, and I've done this too, but you have an idea of what you want,
mm-hmm.
which is a really important thing to have. You have an idea of, you know, the person you're looking for, the traits that matter to you, the values that matter to you. And then sometimes we just sort of paint them onto the person
yeah.
who's sitting in front of us. And anytime they do something that sort of matches that, we're like, oh, yes, okay, 1 point for that person. And then we kind of ignore when they do something that says the opposite about them.
Absolutely. I think that, like, when people go on a first date, especially, it's really smart to have kind of a tally in your head. I call it the red assessment hat. You're like wearing this giant, giant red invisible hat. Actually, I have to throw that one to my friend Sharon, who came up with it. Your imaginary giant red hat, and you're in this assessment person hat. And all you're supposed to do is tally in list form all the good things you observe about this person's behavior and all of the bad things you observe. And your job is not to convince them to like you. Your job is to figure out if you like them. And that is the most important information. So stay in your own body and stay in your assessment hat. Like, what do I think of this person? What do I think of how they're acting? Do I like that they're looking around the room? How do I feel about the fact that they ate off of my plate just now? Or et cetera. It's like, and you'll notice that the lists are pretty even. Like, one side fills up about even with the other. But when it comes to your foundational values, you cannot compromise those. Like, things like honesty, fidelity, or if there's other things that are really important to you, you cannot ignore those things. Because what happens is, you know, 2 years down the line, you get your heart smashed and you're shocked when you find out the person was dishonest the whole time and they've been cheating on you. It's like it only leads to wasted time and a harder truth learned.
Yeah, and so I think there are some more obvious red flags, like when someone is clearly lying or when something is just really off about the situation. And then I think there are more nuanced red flags too. So when it comes to something like commitment, which is a big issue for a lot of menders, at least, who are going through breakups, you know, they're going through a breakup with someone who was sort of there and maybe really cared about them, maybe really loved them, but couldn't really meet them where they were commitment-wise. And I think a lot of times we get signals around what someone's inclination to commitment is early on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we get a sense of that, even just based on, like, how communicative are they? Sorry. I'm just, like, struggling to say words over here. And wait, where was I going with that? This is like the
signals.
Warning label on
don't operate heavy
Zyrtec.
Machinery. Like how? No, I know what you're saying.
Oh, like, yeah, like before a date, for instance. Like, I'm thinking of two people that I've dated. One was like before a date, texted, called, confirmed, made a plan. Was like, I'm so excited. You know, was very like there, present. That person was very willing to commit in a relationship. And then I think of someone else who was like kind of like they definitely kind of made a plan. There was a date, but there wasn't a lot of talk beforehand, not a ton of follow through, but there was like just enough
right.
where we went on a second date. And that person was not interested in a committed relationship.
Right.
Those signs were there in the very beginning, you know, but I probably gave both of them the same amount of time. And
yeah.
I think that's something, you know, as you as you get better at reading those signs, which happens as you get older and as you're in more relationships, I do think you get better at picking up on the more nuanced red flags, of which there are a lot. And I'm trying to think of some other ones, but I think that one is a big one, of just like how comfortable are they committing, not just like in a relationship, but in general. Like, can they make a firm date? Can they make a plan? Like, do they stick to it?
I have a really good one I just thought of, because it's like one of the most important red flags, I would say. And this is not true if you are actually on a date with somebody that does want it, that is like totally there and totally ready to get married and is looking for a partner. So this, take this with that in mind. But commitment phobics, because of the fact that they know they are damaged goods, part of what they will do on a first date is front load all of the buzzwords that they know you want to hear. So commitment phobic will be like, I'm looking to settle down. I want to have lots and lots of kids. I'm making it into probably somebody that wants kids. So maybe fill in the blanks if it was somebody that doesn't want kids. But we'll say all the things they think you want to hear. And like, it will feel really fast. It will feel like, whoa, we just met. Really? And it's partly because they like the push-pull. So it'll be like to get you to pursue them really quickly. And as soon as you come close to them, they'll push you away and they'll like completely cut off contact. So red flag. If somebody is going extremely fast, and it feels like it's way out of context, they're probably a commitment phobic.
Yeah. And I think another red flag that's related to when something goes so quickly, kind of have to wonder, when something is so quick and so intense, like when someone is just like in hot pursuit, like how much of it is related to you and how much of it is related to them and kind of what they're looking for and the idea that they have of you. I think that getting to know people is so important. It's such an important part of dating. And there's definitely like there are exceptions where it's just like a whirlwind and super passionate and exciting. But generally that's two-sided. I think a lot of times I see cases where it's like one person is just like pursuing so intensely when they've just met someone.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little bit of a red flag, just to think about why.
Mm-hmm. And you can't skip the getting to know you part.
Right.
You might feel like you want intimacy instantly, but you still don't really know that person. That takes time. Just like building a friendship, it takes. And it's fun. It's really like the best part. I feel like enjoy the courtship. Make it last.
Yeah. I feel like we could fill a chalkboard full of,
I know,
red flags. I think when it really comes down to it, it really is just about sort of getting in touch with your intuition and following that intuition, because generally your gut feeling is going to be right.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to throw one more in that I just thought.
Yeah. Should we just do like quick fire?
I know. It's like it could go on forever. If somebody tries to tell you what you want is wrong, don't let anybody ever tell you that. Like, I know there are people that will be like, no one – that's not fair. No one can ask for that. Like, that's not who I am. If they give you an excuse as to why you shouldn't have what you're asking for, that means they're not right for you.
Yeah. And people probably have varying opinions, but I feel like a good red flag, or I guess a bad red flag, is when someone is really nice to you but really mean to others in front of you. This gives you a sense how they treat people outside of the zone of I want to impress you.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really important thing to know.
Oh, I have another one.
Yeah.
Quickfire. When you find out they have a slew of really bad relationships and also short relationships. So if they have had like every relationship they've had is like 2 weeks long, and they are not on good terms with any of those people, listen to what that means.
Yeah.
Like, don't pretend that everyone believes they'll be different. So the people before you were not that different. It's a sign.
What about when they won't introduce you to their friends? Like, what if they go out of their way, trying to think of an example, but what if they go out of their way to hang out with you only alone?
I'm trying to think of a person I can relate that to. I feel like I think of myself, someone that does. I mean, I don't know. I'm so all about the people I'm with. So I feel like I probably have done that before because I'm like, I just want to hang out with my friends. Like, besides the, you know, I want to introduce you to so-and-so.
Yeah, yeah.
I tend to be like, I'm hanging out with this one person. So I want to be able to, like, be with that one person. And okay. I don't really want you tagging along. That's, I would say but that's a case-by-case thing, though.
Yeah. Like, what if you were dating someone and you'd never met any of their friends?
Then I would say that person probably has another relationship.
Right.
Very good likelihood.
Red flag.
If people compartmentalize, they compartmentalize in other areas of their life.
Right.
Keeping walls.
And what about red flags? Like, I know a really common one is getting in a relationship with someone who is married.
I know.
So it's what are true. The red flags of that?
When somebody is dishonest in other areas, like, there will be clues that there are that it's too good to be true, and there will be clues that there will be other dishonesties. It's not just the one thing. There will be other behavioral signs, and usually that person will keep you very off balance when your instincts tell you that. So you might question something, and they'll usually try and confuse you and draw circles around you to make you feel like you're wrong for having suggested that. So it'll be like a very gradual process of making you lose a complete grasp on the truth. So that's why it's even more important to stay completely connected to your gut.
Yeah.
Because, like, if you're in a relationship with somebody, they bounce back reality to you, and eventually, I always describe it as, if you're with someone that's sick, eventually you get the sickness. Like, you're not going to be able to completely stave off the effects. So stay connected to your gut and speak your truth, even if it causes a fight. Because you need that gut. It's your compass.
All right. We could keep going with red flags forever. But hopefully those are some big ones. And we may have to do another version of this episode. So if you like this episode, please subscribe, and you can follow us on social media at Love Like a Plant on Twitter. And if you have any friends who are dating or single or recently gone through a breakup, be sure to send this episode to them. We have a lot of great stuff for them to listen to. We think will be helpful. And I think we should ask. Should we ask? We should ask. Could you please leave us
a review?
That was impromptu. I don't know if it worked.
I'd say we killed it.
Okay. It really helps people find us. Sarah, what do you think love is like?
Love is like a jello shot. You either go for it all the way or not at all, because it's not fun if you stop halfway.
That was a good Valley Girl voice.
Thanks.
Thank you.